when there's a full moon out there, which there was maybe last week, you can see the lace. The trees look like lace in the sky. It's beautiful, the contrast, the way God has made everything a reflection of one another. And that's what exactly we're going to look at today. And the Church of Thessalonica, what happened was, is we looked at this past week, and actually the past couple of weeks, and 1 Thessalonians, we had concluded, and we looked at, for example, all the many marks that we have. We looked at maybe about 20 of them, that we can encourage one another, because these days are, no matter what we do, they're growing evil, because God prophesied that it would happen. And prophecy is good for us to know, to give us an insight to focus on our day-to-day living. And so my prayer is today that this time will be a blessing for you and I. So we're looking at 2 Thessalonians. And this book was written about 6 months after 1 Thessalonians was written. And the problem was is that once they had gotten this letter back around 51 AD, you had Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They were there with Paul. And there was a ruckus going on. A problem like as we looked in Acts 17, where you had a lot of people were getting saved. Okay, and this is during Paul's second missionary journey. Isn't it wonderful and can lead somebody to the Lord? I'm sure we all have led somebody to the Lord. And it's just something that's so real. It's so exciting. And then to see that person grow in the Lord. Well, you had multiple people, Jews and Greeks as well. And what happened was, is that you had a group of people that didn't like it. They were envious. Okay, they had that green eye of envy. They didn't like it because it got in the way of their religious system. And all kinds of reasons went after that. You know what sin does? It can multiply. Paul had to leave with Timothy and Silas. They were only there for 3 weeks. Looked at that in 1 Thessalonians. Well, the letter was written. They had gotten it. There was some confusion, as we looked at last week, at the end of last week's message. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So one of the confusions was, well, we're going through tribulation. Is this great tribulation? We're looking at this. We look at this during 1 Thessalonians. We had the rapture, okay? And then we had the day of the Lord. And we're looking forward today in today's church, because the church started in Pentecost and it will end at the time of the church to the Gentiles primarily is when the rapture happens, right? So we know that there are going to be certain things, certain signs happening, and one of them is trials and tribulations, but the tribulation period won't happen until after the rapture. The 7-year period, like Jacob's trouble. There's Matthew chapter 25 and Luke, it mentions that too. So there'll be a time of trouble. They thought, well, maybe they're talking about what Paul's talking about is now, the persecution that we were having. The problem was, if you look in Acts chapter 17, that they started to riot. Now, you have to look at the historical background. Number one, Thessalonica was a free city in the Roman Empire. And the emperor who was there, the Caesar at the time, all he had to say was, oh, okay, just send a legion over there, over 2,000 soldiers, and we will deal with that. Okay, we will take away their freedom. And number two, if they don't behave themselves, we will crucify some of them. And so there was a fear in their hearts. And so what happened was, is the leaders of Thessalonica, they were like, you know what? We don't want the troublemakers here. And I'm hoping today that maybe some of us are troublemakers in a good sense. Get out there and share the gospel. You know, you cause people to get angry at you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're just sharing Jesus, right? You're free. The truth will set you free. So, you know, we're not supposed to retaliate. We're going to look at that too this morning. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. It has the idea of his justification is his. His retaliation will come at the time when he comes back at the end of the tribulation to pronounce judgment. It's bad enough people are, we're going to look at hell too today. Hell's a bad place to be. You know, a lot of preachers today don't even preach about hell because I think they're afraid. Okay, I honestly believe. They're more concerned about numbers and how many people we can pack into the church. And please, I'm not judging any churches around here. That's between the pastor and the Lord. Okay? So, you have people today, like it was back in Paul's day, that, you know, didn't like what they heard. And so, remember, Paul was in, he went to Berea, and then he went to Athens. Well, he had sent both of his ministers, Silas and also Timothy, back there with a letter. Then Paul decided, you know what, I'm going to go to Corinth, and I'm going to write 2 Thessalonians. So that's where we're at right now. And so, starting with chapter 1, with a greeting. It's Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. It's a greeting from all three. They're saying, hey, how you doing? You know, I love you in the Lord. How's it going? You know, we know that the problems that you're having, we're going to get to that in a minute here. It says, to the church of the Thessalonians, to our God, our Father, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, it was a very special church. We have a very special church here today. I had somebody tell me that a few weeks ago. We do have a very special church. And God does not look at numbers. He looks at hearts. Because I guarantee you, somebody said many years ago, and it was my own pastor told me this. He says, you know what? He says, a lot of people in our church, he goes, I don't think they're saved. And I was like, what? Here we are at 1,500 people, and our church had been through 3 church splits. He goes, I just want to tell you something here. He used to call me the preacher boy, okay? Because I love to preach. I love ministries. And this is many, many years ago. And I still hope that I still have a preacher boy's heart. I do. Doesn't mean anything, but I need to stay humble. And what happened was, is he says, there are so many people in our church. And he goes, you know, I just pray that they get saved. 1,500 people, okay? So take it for what it's worth. So the church of Thessalonians and the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you. Thank God that we are saved. Amen. We are saved. And you know what? The only reason why we have peace today is because of the peace that he has given us. You know, you can't have grace without the peace. You cannot have peace without the grace, right? From our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the Trinity there. We have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, grace and peace, right? 2 of the fruits of the Spirit. And we have God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we have something the world does not have. We have glory today. We have the essence of God that dwells with us. I say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you today. And please, like we were talking about in Sunday school, if you, guys, if you're into writing journals, do that. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, because life is so short. And they're there to help you. Ladies, the ladies write in their own books. You have, guys have journals, and what was the other one called? Somebody help me on her. What's that? Diaries, thank you, right. So I feel like I'm in an African-American church. You know, people, come on, people, let's sing. Let's talk about the Lord here. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, I'm getting excited. So you get excited about the diaries. You get excited about what God has done for you. We talked about in Sunday school, Satan, once you get saved, Satan has a target on your back. And sometimes he likes to put your mind astray. He likes to stretch your mind out here, oblivious to God, and you're supposed to be focused on him. And you're starting to think like out here, God wants to remind you. That's why I'm saying write a journal, write a diary, God's blessing, what he's done for you. So when you feel down and out this week, you know what? You got something to fight back with. Say, what in the world was I thinking about? Why am I thinking about all the bad things? Think about the good things, brother, while there's still time. Verse 3 says here, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, for your faith grows exceedingly. And we have a faith today. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit too, Galatians 5, is faithfulness, right? A faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. You know, we have been through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations here as individuals and churches over our lifetime. And we've been through so much, and sometimes you think, Lord, a lot of people don't understand what I've been through. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't know where I've walked the walk, talked the talk. They don't get it. But I do with you. Sometimes you feel like you're just all alone. But God is telling you today, you know what? I'm going to be with you through that too. So one, a faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. So we have to trust the Lord. A faith is like a muscle. It has to be exercised to grow stronger. So, you know, when you're going through trials and tribulations, Paul's writing this letter here to the church and saying, look, you've been through a lot and you're going to go through a lot more. I'm trying to tell you us today by the grace of God, and I hope we don't go through trials, but they're supposed to make us stronger. You know, as a guy who lifts weights, I used to many years ago, I used to do it one day, I used to lift weights, came home from work, pumped iron, the next day went out running a mile, okay, I did that rigorously. I enjoyed it. It felt great, okay? But, you know, you have to keep at it. You have to work at it. And your muscles grow stronger and stronger. And God is trying to tell us, look, if you're going to have to exercise your faith muscle. Another thing is like, you feel like today you're a mushroom or a mighty oak tree. Now you're saying, what in the world are you talking about? Let me tell you something. You ever gone back in the woods and seen a giant mushroom? Those things are big. Be careful. There's some that are poisonous, some that are good for you to eat. Now, what I'm trying to say, mushrooms can grow up overnight, and you can walk over to them and kick them, and they'll just fall right over, right? Some people have a faith like a mushroom. The trials come along, they get kicked right over. Let me encourage you, be strong in the power of the Lord and of his might. Be not discouraged. Or are you a mighty oak? A mighty oak tree stands through the tests and the trials. It's there when these winds come through. These winds were so powerful this past day. You know, it was a beautiful day yesterday. But the tree that stands during trials, it's still there. You have a mighty oak growing within you. Of course, I'm using it as an example. Okay, so a mushroom grows overnight. Okay, some people think, okay, I got what it takes. And then there's other people who go through trials and tribulations. It takes time. It makes you stronger. It takes time for an oak tree to grow. Many years. Some of you are many years old. You got a young heart, but you've been there. You've done that. And I want to encourage you, staying strong in the Lord today. And Paul goes on to say here, because of your faith in verse 3, grows exceedingly. That has the idea, it means to grow beyond measure, to grow beyond what is expected. And so we see that we are growing in the Lord and exceedingly in the love every one of you all bounds toward each other. What he was saying, look, you're going through a lot of trials, you're going through a lot of tribulations as a church. Let me encourage you. We have had probably many spiritual blessings this week, and yet we've probably had many spiritual battles we've been fighting through. So we need to encourage one another today. This kind of love that we have, it binds individuals together as a family, as the family of God. Also binds individuals in an unbreakable union. It holds individuals with a deeper affection. It nourishes and nurtures one another. It shows and looks after welfare of one another. See what I'm saying here? We're looking after one another. We're encouraging one another. We have each other's back. We're trying to help each other. And you know, so we need to know that shows concern, looks after the welfare of one another, always cherishing one another, comforts, supports, and encourages one another, regardless of our differences and circumstances. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, but you know what? We're always there for one another. We always have open hearts. So this is what he's trying to get at here in chapter 1 and verse 3. Verse 4 says, so that we ourselves, most of you among the churches of God, for your patience of faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So look, they were hated in that society. You know, if you ever been overseas and you ever met people that you just don't quite understand. I was meeting with a couple back before church started about hand signals. And we're like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? That's what it means? We couldn't stop laughing. But usually if you're in another culture, they have a last laugh because they're just like, you have no idea. I mean, you know, you've been overseas. If you're white, you stick out, you know. So you're humble. You're just like, I better be a good listener and a good follower because I had no idea what these people are talking about. We got some people who have been a missionary for over 40 years. Other people have been overseas. You know what I'm talking about. So there, it was not a good situation because people were rioting in Thessalonica because you had some people that were jealous. It was the Jewish people, and other people were just envious. They wanted what they had, obviously. And so what happened was, is here in Acts 17, to continue down here in verse 6, it says, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them. That was one of the Christians that took them in, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd. They were troublemakers. They were the wrong kind of troublemakers. What happened eventually is that Paul and Silas and Timothy, they had to leave Thessalonica. And then they came back later on since things calmed down because they did not want trouble with Rome. Remember, the Jews were kicked out of Jerusalem. Around 70 AD because, number one, they were multiplying so much that they became a problem. Number two, Jews hated idols. And everywhere a Christian would look, if you and I were there today, we'd see an idol of Caesar. And the Jews hated even the thought of an idol. And so, they only worshiped one God. It was their deal. But they didn't think Jesus was God in the flesh, the second part of the Trinity. So what happened from there was that they decided, you know what, there's trouble. In 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go ahead and jail Jason after the three left. And we're going to tell them that, you know what, they need to take a security to get Jason out of jail. In other words, they were going to have to pay a big fine in order to get this Christian man out. So there was a lot to pay for being a Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 says, therefore, we wanted to come to you, Paul was saying, after he had left with the other two. He says, but even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. You ever feel like you've been hindered lately? You've been trying to do something, or just like, man, this week has just been, it's just been a battle. And, you know, you know what I'm talking about. Where did that come from? Why am I getting, you know, harassed? It's just on and on because he works quietly, the old devil does. And he doesn't want me to say this. I'm saying it hiding behind the cross. He masquerades as the truth, but it's a lie, if you know what I mean. Okay? He makes it look okay. It's okay. This is what God's telling you to do. And you have to be sharp and pointed and think, you know, does this coincide with the word of God? Okay? Or when things get real quiet and still, sometimes you're like, okay, do I have the peace of God? What kind of spirits am I listening to? To the unsaved, they're saying, oh, you're foolish, you're ridiculous, you're out of your mind. But you know what? When you have the Holy Spirit, that can lead you into truth and peace. So be careful when things get real quiet, because usually there's a storm about to arise or something to happen. But thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. It guards your mind in Christ Jesus, like it says in Philippians. So that, you know, the church was dealing with a persecution, has the idea of somebody hunting you down. So it wasn't just the Jews and the pagans and the religious leaders, but then there was also the tribulations, which has the idea of outward troubles coming to you. And I'm not talking about a car breaking down, but I'm talking about a spiritual battle, something that you can't see, but you know is a war going on. There's a war going on in heaven right now. There's a war going here, going down here on earth. And we are called to be what? Soldiers of the cross. And we step by faith and we just do it regardless. We could do it with our eyes closed, right? And I pray today too that we know enough scripture verse. We can close our eyes and we can just see the scripture. We can sense God's throne. We can sense the prayers. We can sense God's blessings and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So going on here to verse 4 and 5 says, which is the trials and tribulations manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you also suffer. So there will be a kingdom of God, like I said before. Unless the Lord comes back, if we die, then there's a seven-year part of the tribulation. Like I said before, they were confused over that part of the tribulation. We go through trials and tribulations, but it's not the seven-year part of the tribulation. We'll be up with the Lord at the Bema seat at that time, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and God will give us rewards for what we have done because of our faithfulness. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? You know, it talks about there's jewels, precious stones, there's gold, there's silver, the wood, hay, stubble. Okay, we break those apart. I believe it's our heart and our, you know, what we've been called faithful to do. You know, God's called you to something, go for it, run with it. You know, do the best you can for the glory of God. A pastor told me years ago, he says, you know what the secret is? And I just looked at him. It was like, okay, kind of like caught me off guard. He goes, just give glory to God. And he laughed. He goes, that's all it's all about. Give the glory to God. That's all it is all about every day. And God blesses us, doesn't he? He gives us so much. Oh my goodness, when you compare what the hell other people have in the world today, he's given us so much as a country, and we need not to forget about, like Abraham Lincoln said in his speech the other last week, our problem in our country, he says, even back in the 1860s, is people are starting to forget to give thanks. They're becoming, you know, watered down. They're becoming lukewarm, you know. And we live in the area of today in the churches of Revelation as what? The missionary church. We live in an age of Philadelphia / Laodicea. Laodicea is like becoming lukewarm. Some churches you walk into, you can't know the difference between the world and what is of the faith. You walk out, you're like, okay, did I miss something here? So we have the kingdom of God, which comes after the tribulation period, and then that is for 1,000 years, and then we have the new Jerusalem, new heavens, and new earth, which is eternally there with God. So we have a lot to look forward to. You know, don't give up. The best is yet to come. So verse 6 says, since it is a righteous thing to God to repay. Romans 12:19, and Paul's saying, look, vengeance is mine, and will repay, saith the Lord. We aren't to seek vengeance or revenge. It is God's to give. Judgment is coming. God is just and righteous. God has punished the wicked. We may not see the justice going on today like we should, the true justice, right? The difference between right and wrong. But justice is coming. And that's why the word vengeance has the idea of God not just, you know what, I'm angry, I'm going to go ahead and obliterate all these people, I'm going to wipe them out. No, that's not talking about vengeance, it's talking about justice. That's what that word means. True justice, law and order. Remember that old TV show, New York City Law and Order? That was a good show, I thought, anyway. At least it showed the difference between right and wrong, okay? And then we see here, verse six at the end says, God will repay with tribulations who trouble you. Verse seven, and to give you who are troubled rest. The problem is today, a lot of people grew up back in the day and they looked at God, at least I did, was like, you know what? God, if you're blessing me, I'm doing what's right. If I'm doing what's wrong, things are all going wrong, you know? And you brought, maybe some of you are brought up that way. And that's not the way that God works. Because we go through trials and tribulations, we might be doing everything right, and we're faithful, and we're true, like they say, to the blue. But what happens is that things are still going wrong. Oh, Lord, I've already been through this trial. Why am I doing this again? Did I miss something? No, God loves us. Remember, He loves you. He wants to make you stronger. I've been praying for some of you that are just going through some woozy trials. And I'm like, Lord, I had no idea what they're going through. But you know, the best part is you do, because I have no idea. And some people are have the idea in some of these religions today, they think, well, because of floods, famines, fires, disease, this is the wrath of the gods, you know. But yet we live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful world. And so it is cursed. So we are going to have tornadoes. We are going to have problems like that happening. So don't take God the wrong way when bad things happen. And you know what I really don't like is when preachers get up there and talk about a prosperity gospel. Oh, you know what? You know, if God's prospering, you're looking good compared to this person. They're always putting eeny and meeny together, okay? And they're saying, comparing the two, look, you know, one is living right because they're prospering. The other isn't, because look at what they have. Wow. You know what? That is so wrong. That is so anti-gospel. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And Jesus never did that, because Jesus went out to help the poor, the sick, the needy. He was there. He became so popular, Jesus did, that He said, you know what? Don't tell them about this healing. You know why? Because then you have a whole mass group of people coming up. I need to get healed. But, you know, all they wanted was the free food, the healing, all this and that. But they didn't want to hear about the gospel. Many came in Jesus' time. But, you know, when they walked away, they had full tummies. They were healed. Thanks, Jesus. See ya. Later, bye. You know, and that was the end of Jesus in their lives. It's throughout all the gospels. Jesus says, don't tell them about this healing. Why? Because I just told you, right? And so sometimes we go out and we witness to people, tell about people about the Lord. Sometimes they don't want to hear what Jesus has done. They want something that's only good for them. They want to know what's in it for them. And, you know, it's so sad. It sounds selfish, but people are selfish. So going on here, so the Lord will give us rest. And when the Lord is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, it's interesting with that, flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Now, those angels, as it's mentioned about, we look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we look at an angel as a ministering spirit. And it's referring here, like it says here, of the angels, he says, who makes his angel spirits and ministers a flame of fire. You know, when you stop there and you think about it, they are ministering spirits is what they are. We, right now, we entertain angels unaware. I'm very sure there are angels sitting amongst us right now listening to the gospel. Why? And they even says in Hebrews, they look into the things that our lives, our salvation, and they're like, the wonder of it all. Look at that. You know, how can God love this person here? Look what's happened. God saved this person. This person's growing in the Lord. And they'll look at other people that are not even growing in the Lord, that they're satisfied living in the world like they were, saved by fire, and they're scratching their heads thinking, my goodness, don't they understand the glory of God? Look at all they're missing out on. And when the time comes for the rewards, they're going to be saved so by fire, because God's holiness, I believe God's judgment is like a fire, will come through and cleanse out all those things that were done in the flesh. We weren't faithful and so on and so forth. But those things that we were faithful and right, you know, as living as a servant and on and so forth, God will bless. So there'll be coming a time when God will show vengeance. It's also known as a symbol of judgment, referring to the brilliance and glory and holiness and appearance of Jesus Christ coming back as well. Remember in Revelation that Jesus will come back and out of the sword of his mouth, you know, he'll devour the ungodly. In other words, the angels will come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will come back. We don't have the time to get into this. I will get into this when we get into the book of Revelation. We'll be coming back riding on horses, and Jesus will come back riding on a horse. We'll be wearing our crowns. Jesus will have a name that is not mentioned in the Bible, but he will have many, many crowns. Even the Jews today, there's a whole name that is so holy that they don't even mention the name of God. It's so holy. Remember when Paul was caught up into the third heavens, he was just like, I couldn't even utter some things that was going on in heaven. It was so holy. And so we will come back with the Lord then, and God will claim his justice. And Jude verses 14 and 15, it says, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesies that the men also saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's you and I when we come back with the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, executing judgment on all, convicting all ungodly among them who do ungodly deeds, which they have committed in their ungodly ways, and all the harsh things which they have ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So we will be coming back with the angels. God will be collecting the elect from the four corners of the earth at the end of the tribulation period. But God will be taking justice or vengeance on those who do not know God. And he's encouraging the Thessalonica believers, look, don't work on getting vengeance back on people who trouble you. And then, of course, who do not obey the gospel, who do not know God of the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's a place called hell. There's a place that people will be separated from God. It's an eternal destination. There won't be like Seventh Day Adventism. They believe that hell is just temporary. Mormonism believes the same thing. There's a lot of false gospels out there. As it has here that it will be a place of complete ruin and loss from all life should be. That means you'll be at a loss in hell because there will be no life to live. You won't have a life. You'll be cut off from the presence of God and the glory of his power from heaven. There'll be no presence of God. The rich man and Lazarus, remember that story there. Jesus has called him, it was a true story too. He says, you know, that rich man, he didn't call him a name. You won't have a name in hell. You'll be excluded from all joy, pleasure, and satisfaction. It'll be utter emptiness. There'll be nothing to fulfill in your life. We were created to what? Work and have fellowship with God, right? Work at whatever you're doing. God has given you hands, feet, a head, a torso, everything else to what? For his honor and glory. But you won't have a purpose for any of that in hell. And then you'll be removed from all companionship and association from all possessions and all people, left with nothing and utter loneliness. Don't be conned by pictures of hell. People seeing people next to one another being tormented. You'll be all by yourself in hell in the lake of fire, the second death. You will have nobody to talk to. And so that's bad enough for those people who like to be around people all the time. You'll also be extinguished from love and affection. You'll have no love there. There'll be no affection. I know we're going down here at this moment, but that's why hell is so unpopular. People are like, I don't want to hear that. And then you have, we'll have bodies of glory in heaven, right? And you'll have a body of decay and death. It's constantly dying over and over again. You'll be grinding your teeth. You'll be in anger. That's why gnashing of teeth has the idea of being angry, because you should have, would have, could have. And then, of course, you'll be banished from all hope, eternally lost forever. And so, you know, and I could just go on and on, but I think you do have the point here. So it'll be everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Verse 10, and when he comes in that day, glorified in the saints, to be admired among all those who believe because of the testimony amongst those who believe. And I know my time's running out here, but, you know, there's so much more to say here. And so we look at verse 11 says here, therefore, we also pray always for you that God will count it worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of the faith with power. So he's saying, look, coupled with your faith in the power that God has in you, like that parable goes, a little mustard seed of faith can move mountains. And it has the idea of that just a little bit of faith, you can move the mountains in your life. You can do that with God's help. And so verse 12 says that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, you and him, according to his grace. In other words, that idea of being glorified, that means the essence of God that will dwell in you. It's even dwelling in you now. The problem is we wrestle against the flesh. We wrestle against those things that suppress us from God's glory that lives within us. And you say, how does that happen? You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You had your own spirit, but then you had the Spirit of God living in you and in him according to his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me just go with the conclusions here, because I could go on for the next 15 minutes and that wouldn't be fair to anybody, even in my right mind too. So we have eight things here in conclusion. Number one, suffering is not a sign that God is displeased with you. Prosperity is not a sign that God is pleased with you either. Number two, God is gracious, God who will give peace, and that he will help us during our trials and tribulations. Remember, God wants to strengthen us. Number three, the purpose of trials is to grow stronger in a faith. Faith that cannot be tested, it cannot be trusted. That was Paul's prayer for them. And it's our prayer for one another today, too. Number four, trials make you patiently wait for God for his provision. No matter what prayers you may have, and the storms of life will hopefully will not topple you like a mushroom, will make you mighty like an oak. Number five, trials and tribulations are proof that God loves you. And remember that Satan has a target on your back. So this week you're going to have a trial, I guarantee. It doesn't mean that God doesn't like you. It means God wants to make you stronger. Just remember that and keep on praying for one another. Then number six, God's judgment on the lost and righteous. When Jesus comes at the revelation, he will come to bring judgment on the wicked. Remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. Remember, somebody's done you wrong. Forgive them. Love them. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. And just think, Lord, help me to reach this person for you. And at the end, this person still does not repent. The person's not saved. God will deal with it. Remember, his justice, not vengeance. Number seven, we will reflect the grace of God. Thank God that he gives us for his glory when he is revealed. We even have his glory dwelling with us now. And number eight, we need to be thankful, because there's no matter what we've gone through in life. All right, I'm closing with this. For I consider Romans 8:18, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Remember, our trials too can be a blessing. And this is what Paul's trying to get at. He's saying, look, I'm writing the second letter from Corinth, and I'm writing it because I love you. I can't be there, but I'm there in spirit. I pray that we do likewise today in our church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I wanted to say a lot more, and I realized my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it wouldn't be fair to them. And I know that I need to know when to start, when to end. We just thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you, Lord, for no matter what we go through in life, because there are suffering saints here. And just thank you for things that will be revealed down the road that we realize there was a reason. Why? Because we want to glorify Christ. Why? Because we want to be faithful. Why? Because we want to be more like you. Lord, it's a hard thing to swallow in this world. And people don't understand when they look at the gospel as being foolishness. Help us to be wise unto salvation. Help us to have a good week in you. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you. We continue to worship you in spirit and truth with music. In your name we pray. Amen.